Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub. Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, let's rock and roll, huh? Let's do it. How you doing, Zoe?
Great.
Hardy, you good?
Oh, yeah, real good.
Good to see you, boys.
Real good.
Good to see you. Yeah, yesterday we were doing that poll from The Athletic. There's so many fake promos that will come out of this segment. You just wait. Yeah, so we're doing a lot of poll talk. And I don't think the poll on The Athletic was right. I don't think they asked the right question. We said this yesterday. The question about who to blame for Tom Brady's departure.
Right.
Which is something we've dissected and talked about at length. So it's not like we need to talk about this again. But it was the poll itself that annoyed me. It was an irritating poll. And with that, yesterday I was happy to hear at the start of Felger and Maz that they attacked it the same way we did yesterday. And they even took it a step further by producing their own poll. Those guys love the polls.
They sure do.
They do.
They love going out, mixing and matching with the people and getting the vibe of, you know, the local, you know, cool cats and all that. They like to hang out with them, reach out and touch people. You know, that's their thing.
So,
They're people.
They posted a poll of their own, which asked the question, who do you blame most for the departure of Tom Brady? They gave the same four options, however, that The Athletic gave. And the reason being, they wanted to get a truer sample. They wanted to know how many respondents there were. They wanted to get an audience that maybe was more cynical, more of a talk radio audience than an athletic audience, if that makes sense. You know, people with a little bit more of a sports edge to their opinions.
Okay. I mean, so far I get it. You know, it's an experiment. And the control is the exact same survey.
Yes.
Okay.
So they did the same survey yesterday. They posted it's still active.
Gotcha.
And it says who deserves the most blame
for the departure of Tom Brady. I'm going to vote.
And I just checked it right before our show. There were over 22,000 people who had responded already since yesterday. Tom Brady is at 24.1%. Bill Belichick was at 35.3%. Robert Kraft went up. He went up to 4.4%.
Ooh.
And again, this is, we assume, a larger sample with 22,000 people. 23,146. So let me give you the up-to-the-second results. Brady, 24.1.
It's 147. I just voted.
Belichick, 35.3. Kraft, 4.4%. And the it was just meant to be is now at 36.2%. So
that
it's come down.
It's almost 40% people think it was just meant to be.
Well, I mean, the Athletic poll was far worse.
It's just meant to be.
So they debated on Felger Maz whether to do the same poll again to get a more accurate result and a bigger sample and maybe even a more scientifically valid sample because it's, you know, crossing all different demographics when you sort of open it up to that many more people.
Well, that show is nothing if not scientifically sound and empirically correct. I mean, there's right and there's wrong, and they will always be on the side of right. So that is, that's the reasoning behind using the exact same questions, I'm sure.
Yes. 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 They always cross the T's, dot the I's, and make sure it's done the right way.
And as, except as, I think, as do we, I would like to add.
Absolutely.
It's kind of what the show was founded on.
Yeah, the highest of standards around here.
Yes.
But I want to know, as Jimmy Stewart requested on the show yesterday, I want to know what happens when you do Brady, Belichick, and Kraft.
Right.
And that's the poll that I want to see. So
yeah, you've given almost 40% of the people the out to check a random box. Yeah, it's kind of just everybody was meant to be.
Then Felger Maz gave it to them again. But I get why they did it. They had a reason for giving it to them again. But now it's time.
Coach, it's the greatest quarterback, one of the greatest owners, and this is not continuing. What the hell happened? Go ahead.
And so now I think we, as a show, Hardy, need to do that poll.
Ah!
Need to do that poll hard. Need to do it. We need to post it, is what we need to do. We need to force people to pick.
You know what I think of polls? You guys can put it on your poll pages.
Poll Patrol. Oh, you're against polling altogether.
I'm against polling. I think it's lame.
So you're not going to promote it anyway.
Oh,
you're not going to.
Oh no, I'll promote it.
You're not going to. You're not going to fluff the poll up. You're not.
Why are you against? No. Why are you against it? Tell people why you're against it.
I think
you're going
to
bring that up.
I think it's hack radio form to start a show with a poll.
Who does that?
Bad radio shows do it all across the country.
It's one thing if we did it every day, so we hardly ever do it.
Right.
Like, okay, we have a specific reason for doing it.
All right, you can talk me into it. But I'm
all
just trying
polling
to be
is not bad. When
I'm
you
trying
when
to be
you
consistent.
When you have the digital department saying you need to do a show poll every day, which we had that existed here once upon a time. Do you guys remember those days,
dude?
Do you remember that?
Yes. Yes. What was the little tease thing we did?
Oh, the app. Oh. That, what was that? The Roadshow. Oh. Roadshow app.
The audio Roadshow app.
Yes.
Tune in, people. Yeah.
Okay, we don't do it every day. We almost never do it.
Yeah.
So I say we started today and we let it go for 24 hours when
That's
we started.
Fine. And we could do another one like in the summer. You think someone's going to get killed by a shark? Yes, no, easy. Maybe not. Maybe it was just meant to be. We'll do A, B, C, and that. Okay, go ahead.
But I would really like for people to start going and answering it now so that in a couple of hours we have a large number to go on already. So are we ready to put that up on the Twitter account, Jim?
So I just want to clarify, yeah, we're ready to go. Exactly the same wording as the Felger and Maz one from yesterday, except for taking out the one option.
Correct. Okay. Who deserves the most blame? Because as we talked about yesterday, many people are smart enough to know that it's not one person that's to blame. I think we blame multiple people. You know, Brady, if you think my answer is Bill, if I have to answer, my answer is Bill. Yeah, I gave him the majority of the blame. But I don't think Tom Brady's blameless. So I would answer Bill. So it's not about who are all the parties to blame. It's who's the most to blame. And the three options are Brady, Belichick, Kraft. And
it's not a pick three. It's a pick one.
Yes, you can only pick one.
Pick one.
One of those things.
And there's no middleman here. There's no that's just meant to be because it's just not meant to be.
Yeah. You know what I'm happy about, though? So I'm happy that Robert Kraft has chimed in at 2% and 4%.
Yeah, very low.
Like that, I think that reflects well on the fan base to know what was actually going on and actually have been paying attention.
Right, and you don't have a meddling owner that's going to trump everything, right? No, you don't have that.
So I disagree.
People make football decisions.
I disagree with the people who have answered that, but I think it's down to Brady and Belichick, and I think that when you force people to pick one of the three, it's going to be either Brady or Belichick who wins, and it appears Belichick will based on the Felger-Maz poll. But let's do it, Jim. At Zoe and Bertrand on
it's
Twitter.
It's up. Tom just hit send. It's up.
Who deserves the most blame for the departure of Tom Brady?
You guys can vote and retweet yourselves. Go ahead.
Let's get the result that the Athletic could not or was not willing to go get. I'm voting right now. 51 votes already? We are crushing it. All right. All right.
I see 21 votes. 22.
At Zoe and Bertrand, it's up right now. Yeah, now it says 20 votes. I just refreshed. It said 51 votes a minute ago. So get on that poll and give us your votes. We'll update you throughout the show, and we'll have it going for a full day, so we'll get a great sample size over the course of the day, and we'll find out what the people think. Sound good?
Sounds great.
And Zo, just so everyone knows, in case they didn't hear it yesterday, you voted for?
I voted for Bill Belichick.
I voted for Bill. Hardy, who are you voting for?
Bill.
3 votes for Bill on this show. Someone is asking for Giselle to be an option as well. Unfortunately,
that's not possible.
That's not an option. Right. I'm sorry. That's not an option.
It's not a vote. Not an option.
Not an option at all. I apologize for that. Okay, great. I'm feeling good about it, guys. I don't know about you. I'm feeling great. Feeling like we're accomplishing something here today. We're getting stuff done.
Almost 200 votes. We got 48% Brady, 46% Belichick so far.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's a two-man race.
All right, then. Well, we're not going to continue to talk about this. We're going to get back to this later on in the show, okay, as we continue day two of the polling on who is to blame for Brady going to Tampa Bay, because we just cannot accept, oh, nobody. It's great. It was just meant to be.
He's going to run out at Raymond James Stadium, and he's going to have a Pirate logo on his helmet. This is what it's come to.
Brady's a Buccaneer, and it was destiny.
If you told me before last year, before even Brady said, well, it's probably my last year going into last year, that Tom Brady next year would be the quarterback of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I'd think, go F yourself. You're insane. Get out of my face. No, it's happening.
All right, we'll get to this throughout the course of the day. We'll give you the updates on that. Also, the commissioner of baseball yesterday guaranteed there would be a baseball season.
About time guarantee. To step up, do something.
What's that worth? What's his guarantee worth?
We're going to find out, aren't we? We're going to find out.
What good is the guarantee? What happens if there is no baseball season? What do we get back if there isn't?
Hardy, what's the line from Tommy Boy? What guarantee is only as good as a writing on the side of a box, but
you've got it.
You'd stick your head up a butcher's ass see a T-bone steak, but why not take a word from the guy in the white gloves?
And market guaranteed, I got extra time.
Yes.
You almost had it.
Thanks. It's a good movie. It's a good brain movie.
It was on last night.
Yeah, I know.
Was it?
Yeah.
What's the line about the guarantee fairy? How do you know that, like, the guarantee fairy is not some crazy something or other?
Some crazy glue sniffer sneaks into your house while you're all asleep. Next thing you know,
there's a guy driving a meat wagon. He crashes into him. Oh, my God. It's
cat's dead and your daughter's pregnant. I've seen it a million times.
All right. Let's get to the guarantee by Rob Manfred and his comments to Carl Ravitch as baseball still is trying to find its way back. We'll get to that coming up next. And your calls.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
Zoe and Beetle in the office.
It's like a sweater without nipple covers.
In the car.
You smell bacon?
In the truck.
I'm definitely not stupid, Harvey.
Getting you through your work day on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And lastly, the percent of a chance we're playing Major League Baseball this year.
100%.
100% guarantee.
100%.
Major League Baseball will play 100%. You know what I like about Rob Manfred right there? You know what I love about that cut, Zoe?
What, that he's got balls?
Well, I don't know about that. This is why I say it. If it doesn't happen,
he's done.
You get fired.
You're done.
You're gone.
Yeah. You're putting out there that you can't ever take back. You have the audio of you, the commissioner of baseball, in the one sport that seems the most furthest away from playing in a shortened season, going on record, in an interview and saying 100%.
100%.
Just put your ass on the line. Just put his ass on the line.
100%. And here's what I want to say about this. I understand that he can't control what players do. He can't control whether or not players are going to show up for the season. But if they don't, I'm still blaming him.
Well, no, he has control. He can have replacement players like they've talked
actually,
about.
Well, actually, let's explain that part of it. But I say that even knowing that, Jim. So, you know what? Let's play that part, though, where he talks about forcing 48 or 50 games. As we've now heard in the last 24 hours, Rob Manfred has the ability to tell players to come back to work under the agreement that they signed to come back to work at their prorated salaries. So
how will you?
Oh, I'm sorry. Just go ahead and play it. Sorry, Jim.
How will you feel if and when this time comes, we're playing 48 games, boys, and let's get ready to go? How will you feel if that's the end result of this?
I'll be disappointed that we're unable to reach an agreement that allows us to play more games. But you know what? I think at the end of the day, the most important thing, and I'm not buying into your number of 48, the most important thing is that we play Major League Baseball in 2020, and I can tell you unequivocally we are going to play Major League Baseball this year.
Well, I'll be honest. My number would be 60 to 70 games, and you pay a full prorated salary, and we get back to the game of baseball. Why wouldn't that be acceptable?
You know, Carl, I'm not going to get into bargaining with you about issues with the Players Association. We'll make another proposal to them that's consistent with the economic realities that we're looking at, including the fact that our revenues are going to be down over 70%. And hopefully we'll find some flexibility on the other side and make an agreement.
That was the part of the interview that I thought was contentious, and I thought it was completely appropriate on the part of Carl Ravage. Maybe Carl Ravage feels like he got burned last week on that source.
Yes.
That was feeding him that information. Yes. And way to go, Carl. Way to take it out on the commissioner.
What does because, he mean there at the end, too? Like, because what are flexibility on the other side. What does that mean? What are you going to prorate it? I don't understand. What's the flexibility on the other side?
Well, they've talked about deferring payments, so maybe that's what he's talking about. Like, the players want to get paid even if it's deferred. So
then that's how you get guys to play.
Okay, but I love how he rejected the 48 number. Why is he so quick to, I'm not buying in on your number 48. We haven't seen the number 48 in the reports that have been out there about baseball, 48 to 50 games. I mean, stop. So what is his issue? Right. Why is he so mad about that Carl Ravage threw 48 out there as a number, as if Carl Ravage had come up with that number?
Well, I'll be honest. My number would be 60 to 70 games, and you pay a full prorated salary, and we get back to the game of baseball.
So good. That's awesome. Actually, jackass, that's not my number. That's not my number at all. I didn't come up with that on my own, and you know that. Rob Manfred's not an idiot. I mean, I don't like him. I call him an idiot, but not in the sense that he doesn't know that Carl Ravage didn't make up 48 games on his own. That's not the Carl Ravage number. And Carl Ravage took that door that Manfred opened and said, fine, you want to accuse me of that being my number? I'll tell you what my number is. Here, have this. I'd say get back and play for 60 or 70 and just prorate the money.
That's the face of baseball for ESPN, Carl Ravage, getting pissed at the commissioner. I love it.
Awesome.
When the players and owners get pissed, it's one thing. But when the media and the guys that aren't, if Jim Nantz started getting pissed at somebody, that'd be great. Like that's when you know, like, okay, you need to get a deal done. When the when you're losing Carl Ravage, you're losing everybody.
That's like losing Rochie.
Yeah.
Do you understand that?
Yeah, yes. Rochie hung up on TNR the other day. He was so upset.
Carl Ravage works for a broadcast partner of Major League Baseball, one of the most significant broadcast partners of Major League Baseball, a company that pays hundreds of millions of dollars every year to MLB. Hundreds of millions. And they're in partnership with each other. And this guy just, like, took him to task. They've lost.
My number would be 60 to 70 games, and you pay a full prorated salary, and we get back to the game of baseball.
You pay the full prorated.
Oh. Ravage, way to go. Ravage, bulldog. Absolute bulldog out here. Do we want to play something else from the interview? That's about the 48 to 50 games. There's also this sort of opening question about how did we get to this point in baseball from Ravage.
There was a March 26th agreement. From the agreement to where we are today, can you explain, in your opinion, how we got here?
Well, I think that, The March 26th agreement was premised on the belief, mutual belief, that we were going to be in a position where we would be playing baseball games in full stadiums. And I think that we find ourselves in a situation where we're going to be playing largely without fans, if not exclusively without fans. And that altered the economic landscape and really required another negotiation.
Fair. I mean, that's a fair representation of what it is that has happened. So that's a pretty straightforward answer, and that was before things got a little weird.
Did you catch the nervous breath, though, at the beginning of the answer?
Yep.
Very nervous. Here, I'll play. Everybody be quiet. I'll play the nervous breath.
It's like Derek Foxborough. It's Derek and Fox.
It sounds like you're ready to cry.
In your opinion, how we got here?
Well, I think...
Oh, boy.
Let's just play the last clip we have anyway, just for the hell of it. An important question, and that is, are you afraid of being tone deaf to the world right now, not understanding how many millions of Americans don't have jobs, and just the current situation while these guys yell at each other over their millions of dollars?
For baseball fans, and I hear this all the time, and I'm sure you do, there seems to be a tone deafness between your group and the players about what's going on in the present, as opposed to a collective bargaining agreement. This is different. Is there recognition, do you think, between the two sides that this is different?
You know, I can't speak for the Players Association. I can tell you unequivocally that the owners understand this is different, that they're listening to what their fans are saying, and that they are listening to what the players are saying, and they're continuing to make proposals as a result of the input that they're receiving from those sources.
So his answer is, we're listening to who?
That's a shot at the players. No, we're not tone deaf. I can't speak for the. I can only speak for ourselves and the owners. I can't speak for the players. We're not tone deaf.
Yeah,
that's saying the players are tone deaf.
That's absolutely half. He's right. He's right. Jim's right. Cut that in half right there. He drew a line. I like the fact he drew a line. Let's go.
We're not tone deaf. The players are tone deaf. I mean, do we believe that? Does anyone buy that?
I don't know. We're going to find out.
I like the fact that Manfred's getting a little pissy, because maybe he'll have some balls to actually do something this time.
Yes.
Because
yes.
If he's getting pissed at the players, maybe he won't pacify them at every turn.
Right. The number one reason to believe that there is a season to be had is because he caves every single time. Isn't that right?
Right.
Is that who Manfred is?
Yes. Remember he had him, he could have nailed him by the balls with the pitch clock and all that crap? No. Ends up backing out of stuff.
Right. Do we believe that Rob Manfred is going to get to the point where he just says, guys, I'm forcing a season on you. Show up. Show up and we're prorating the salaries.
Sounds like it.
See which guys the game means something to.
Yeah, it also sounded like he was going to put a pitch clock in place.
Did he ever say 100%, though? And he said it twice in there. Unequivocally, he said it first, and then he said 100% later in the interview.
Yep.
Yeah, that is true, which is why if it doesn't happen, he's fired. Good column up at 98.5thesportshub.com, by the way, by Maz today, who writes, it's time for Rob Manfred in baseball to call the union's bluff. And Maz writes, look, I'm no genius here, but actions speak louder than words. When Manfred wanted to aggressively pursue pace of play initiatives, the union stood in his way. MLB allies then told us that Manfred had the power to unilaterally impose a pitch clock, but he never used that power. Now the union is threatening Manfred to unilaterally impose a 50-game schedule, presumably because players think he won't do that either. And so now it's a stare down. And my other question would be, what's the motivation for players now to get a deal done? Like, what would be the motivation for the players to accept the last offer from the league, which is, again, reportedly this 50-game schedule, if they now know that this is what it ends up being if no deal gets done?
Then you end up making $0 or you make this amount. That's what gets the deal done.
But no. No. I'm talking about the last offer, which was basically what happens if no deal gets
right.
done, which
so
is
that's
show a, up and play 50 games.
That's why I say there's no incentive for the players
None.
To accept that. If that's what they can just do anyway, why would we accept that?
And why would they have offered it? I don't get it.
Well, yeah, why would you offer what is ultimately your nuclear option just to do that? I mean, that shouldn't really be the offer. You know, you would think they'd give him a little bit more than that and say, hey, don't make us go to this. Instead, we'll offer you something a little bit better than that.
Unless they're trying to make him look bad.
If the 50 games is about a third of the salary, what motivates the players to take any deals that offer more games and the same salary? Hey, we'll play 76 games at 75% of the prorated salary. And you're like, wait a minute, that comes out to the same as what I would make for 50 games. So why would I ever accept that? This just makes Major League Baseball's offers look terrible.
Did you see the Max Scherzer tweet late last night?
I did not.
No.
He tweeted at 11 o'clock last night after the Manfred interview and all this stuff. Some owners have mentioned that owning a team isn't very net profitable. You know what other company isn't very net profitable? Amazon. The players know that these guys are making money. They're not.
Yeah, they want their books. They want their books open, and they're never going to get open. You keep hearing that from the players. Open the books then.
Yeah.
Let's go. Show us. Show us your money then. Show us your strife. Show us how tough it is on you. Nope, they won't open.
Yep.
Ever.
Yep. Owners making the argument that their businesses are not very profitable. How much money has John Henry made on the Red Sox, by the way?
Right there, man. That is baseball union speak right there. They're getting a message from up top.
How much are the Red Sox now valued at?
It's over $3 billion, right?
Right. So they made how many billions on the team in the last couple of decades?
That's a lot of money you're talking about, Beetle.
Billions.
Yeah.
With a B.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's all. I mean, the values of the team keep going through the roof. Is that because they're all bad businesses? They're not good to own? I don't think so. 617-779-0985.
They saved a little last night, Beetle. They saved a little money last night.
That's right. The Red Sox did save a little bit of cash last night, and they're going down a road that I hope is now not the new norm as they turn into the Tampa Bay Red Sox.
Oh.
And Chaim Bloom. We'll get to that. They drafted a guy that was not projected to be a first-rounder.
Were they in the Patriots war room or something?
I think they got the Tavon Wilson of the baseball draft last night. We'll get to that story coming up after headlines.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Where you could clearly see there's a gap when the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, the sports up.
I feel like I was a first rounder. I know a lot of rankings and sites didn't have me there. I mean, I didn't go out and do all the perfect game things that a lot of guys get ranked on. So it was kind of just wherever I played ball, I played my hardest, and the Red Sox fortunately saw me in one of those times.
We love this kid's bat. We think he has a chance to be a special bat. He was going to play the infield, and we feel that if the spring had gotten to play out the way that it would have in a normal year, that the public perception of him would have been a lot different.
You heard Nick York last night, as well as Chaim Bloom, chief baseball officer for the Red Sox, talking about their pick. I want to believe Chaim Bloom. I do. I want to believe everything he's saying, that this guy would have been a higher pick, that had he been able to play this season, had there been a season, that, well, he would have been right where we got him. And that's why we're picking him here, because we've had to sort of figure out what that final season for him would have looked like. But then there's part of me that thinks the Red Sox are cheaping out. And I think that because the Red Sox reached with this pick, and I'm not pretending to know that I know that, because I don't. I'm going based on what the people that follow this closely, all the baseball draft folks and analysts who have covered this draft and know these prospects and know where guys were supposed to go, they are saying that he was drafted early. And in addition to that, he is a player, and this is where I get to the cheaping out part. He's a player that is willing to sign. Let me read you a tweet from Kyle Glazer. In regards to Nick York, the Red Sox apparently have an underslot deal done with him that will save them, quote, quite a bit of money, according to one source. York is an athletic middle infielder who can hit and is certainly a good player. It's just that most saw him as a second to fourth round talent. And all of a sudden he goes at 17 overall in the draft slot. So if you don't know, in baseball, for the first 10 rounds of the MLB draft, they put a slot value on each pick. And the slot value, which is a team can sign a player up to that value without paying a penalty. The slot value for the 17th overall pick this year was $3.6 million. So now we have to watch and see what Nick York actually signs for, which could be far less than that $3.6 million. And the Red Sox picked him in the first round and took him 17th overall because they're just looking to save money. The Red Sox should never be in that position, ever.
I think it's brilliant. I think it's brilliant by Heim Bloom here, because if this pick, he nails this pick, man, you know how good this guy's going to look, that this guy's able to find those type of kids. You have him ranked, and he can reach and get these kids. I'm being facetious here. Here's the thing. And if you have the slotting, I don't understand why you would sign an underslotted deal. If you're a baseball player and you have some sort of a lawyer looking over a contract, or you understand what Beadle talked about through the first 10 rounds, there is a price written in at your pick. Why would the kid accept less than that? That's a head-scratcher to me. Okay, someone reaches and takes you and nabs you at 17 of round one. Okay, that's what I am then. Just because you're slated to go between 2 and 4 and, they overvalued you here, doesn't mean you have to sign a lesser contract.
All right, well, let me put it to you this way. Let's say that player realizes he is not a first-round talent and knows, wow, I'm not a first-round pick, but the Red Sox went to him, let's say, last week and said, Nick, we're thinking about taking you in the first round. Are you willing to sign for, $1.5 million? And the kid says, yeah, I'd sign for that. Good, we're going to take you in the first round. You're about to be a first-round pick. To give you an idea of what a value would be, do you want to middle it? You want to say third round?
Yeah.
Right? Okay, 2 to 4. The value, the slot value for the first pick of the third round is $857,000. So if you're the top pick of the third round, you're making $850,000. They go to him, they say, we're going to pay you $1.5 million. And he's like, wow, I almost just nearly doubled my salary. And the Red Sox say, yeah, you did. And guess what we just did? We just saved $2 million.
And the kid also gets the tag of first-round pick, which gives him more chances moving forward if he fails in the first time.
First-rounder from the Red Sox, not the Tampa Bay Rays. You're a
first-round pick. Right. So the Red Sox can sit there and say, oh, everybody wins. Can't you see? You win. Yeah, we win. You get a first-round tag.
Baseball
you
get players, they shouldn't like this. They shouldn't like this.
They hate it.
I know they absolutely hate it,
but there's nothing that stops it from happening.
Right.
And you know what? This is the worst part.
This is such bullcrap.
So not only do you cheap out, and you're getting cheap, if that's what the Red Sox are doing, and by the way, I don't think with one pick we can determine this. This is going to take a couple of years to figure out if this is the crap they're pulling now, and they're going to go cheap, and they're going to act like a small market team. If this happens again, then you'll know it's a trend. It happened once, and it's under very odd circumstances. So I am willing to grant them this, but it's something worth keeping an eye on. It feels like they cheaped out. It feels that way. And so keep an eye on it. This has been my greatest fear about Heim Bloom, that all of a sudden they got Heim Bloom because they know that he can work on a short budget, and that's why he's running things.
And when you say everybody wins, that's everybody wins unless the other guy they were going to take that would have been full slot becomes a Hall of Famer.
Everybody wins between, the Red Sox and York, monetarily speaking. The Red Sox don't win if York sucks.
Yeah.
They've now wasted a first-round pick. They used a pick on a guy that didn't belong in the first round, and they've basically taken a pass on first-round talents because they don't want to pay for it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Oh, we're just going to use our pick on a lesser talent because we can pay him less. And as a result of that, you just did. Lost a first-round pick. You lost the – that to me is what I – this is why I really hope it's not true, because the Red Sox have a depleted farm system, and they cannot afford to be wasting first-round picks.
Reaches.
Because of money. Like, that can't be true. So I'm really hoping that Heim Bloom's telling the truth. I'm really hoping that he is being honest and he is telling the truth, and that the reason they picked Nick York is because they really like the player, they believe in him, and they see something that other teams don't. But I'm just very cynical and I have a hard time believing it. But for now, I'm gonna believe it for now. But look out. Keep an eye on this.
But is that the most likely explanation?
No, it's not.
Yes, and that's the problem. You have to talk yourself into that.
Yes. Yes. But that's what I got to say on that for now. We'll keep an eye on it. We'll keep an eye on that.
Poor kid.
All right, then. Passing on first round guys. Passing on first round talent.
Ponies.
It's the new norm, Beetle. It's the new norm here.
It's Maz's ponies versus horses, right?
Right. Because what can happen now, by the way, hold on. No, this is exactly what it is, Jim. And I'm glad you said that, because they will, because they have more money in their pool to spend, now when they get to the rounds that are coming up, they can offer kids a little bit more money to convince them, make sure you come play for us and not go to school. High school kids that are making the choice between, do I go to the majors, do I go into a system and into the minor leagues, or do I go to Arizona State, right?
Listen, campus isn't even going to open next year. Why don't you come play with us for a little bit more money?
Right. So they are going to have a little bit more money to play with later on, and you know, that could be the case, and that could be how this plays out. So let's think of it that way, I guess, and see if that's what plays out and if it goes that way. And that will, again, be they cheaped out in the first round still, but they did it with the reason of, we want to get ponies instead of horses. We'd rather have five ponies instead of a horse. So we'll see what they do. That's a good point, Jim. Thank you for bringing that up. That is. It's the classic Maz ponies versus horses argument. We've had another argument around here lately about mulch. I got some mulch today, Zo.
I heard you got some mulch delivered, Beetle.
I just want to say, I stand with you, Scott Zolak. I believe you, and I stand with you. And we will discuss it next.
Oh. Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org.
Now it's time for more of Zolak and Bertrand.
That's what you put in your mouth in the morning.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Mulch delivery day here, my man. Mulch delivery.
It's always a good day. It smells good when it dumps. And kids are out there looking at it through the window, licking the window, saying, hey, what the hell's that out there? I'm going to go play in that. Nope, you can't play in that. Not allowed to play in that. You get all stained. That stuff's here to kill weeds, baby. What do you got, Beetle? Big mulch delivery day?
No, I don't need a lot. I just got 3 yards is what I got. I got to send Josh. Josh is looking for a photo right now. Let me see if I can get him a photo. So I got 3 yards, which when you look at just the pile, it doesn't look like a lot, right?
Yep.
But then you get up close to that pile, Zo.
Yep.
And it's a lot of mulch. And I got to say, when I looked at my 3 yards of mulch,
yep.
And I looked at it, I go, oh, my God, Zo's pile was definitely 7 times bigger than this. I agree. I agree with you.
How can you say that?
What do you mean? How can he say what? He's your best friend. He's telling you what the
no.
Truth.
How can you say I stood in my driveway and looked at a pile of mulch, and then I looked at a photograph of a pile that Zoe had in his driveway without any scale. The only one that had any scale in it was one of Zoe standing 8 feet behind it.
He and Sean orchestrated it right after that.
They went out and threw pie tins up in the air and took UFO photographs after that, probably. And you say, oh, it's absolutely The exact factor of 7 times larger than the one I have here. I mean, I don't doubt that you got a lot of mulch there, Beetle. What I doubt is that you can look at your pile and then think back to what the pictures that Zoe sent us and put on Twitter and then accurately describe his as being 7 times larger.
Well, you're starting to upset the people at South Shore Landscape.
You're being
Design,
silly.
Okay, that's what you're starting to upset, because they're being thought of and being accused of undercutting me on my mulch delivery.
I never brought up their name. You're the one who keeps name dropping.
South Shore Landscape Supply. That's where I get my mulch. That's 20 yards right there delivered. Bam, right in the yard. They put it where you want it. You mark it, they drop it. That's, yep.
So what is your claim, Beetle? Absolutely, Zoe was right because you have a lot of mulch.
I feel like when you look at a pile of mulch until you get up close with it, it looks a lot smaller than it actually is.
This is acquiring data right here, like our poll at the beginning of the show.
And I feel sorry to have ever questioned Zoe on this matter.
Thank you. The apology is accepted.
I mean, I'm not one to brag about the size of my mulch pile.
Do you know how many Advil I've taken in the last 6 days because of the pain in my shoulders and back?
But
and
I know that when Sam White and Sons delivers the mulch, that if anything, they go a little extra, not a little under. So I look at it and I go, yeah, you look at that and you say, oh, that's not a big pile. And then you stand next to it and you're like, oh God, this is a ton of mulch. Got to move all this crap now.
Yeah.
So that's my thought.
Put on thick. Those weeds won't come through, Beetle. Nice and thick. Lay that bad boy down.
That's what I'm looking for, Zoe.
Yep. That's good. I'm glad.
Sounds like Hardy needs to get delivered a big pile of mulch to his driveway so that he can compare, too, no?
I agree. Tom could come over and stand next to it for scale since he shrunk so much. And the pile would look so much bigger.
I don't need to. I went and picked it up myself. I'm dump it right there in the back of the truck. Now, here's a way you can think about it, Beetle.
Yeah.
How much of that pile would you be able to put into the bed of your truck? Half of it?
Yeah, probably about half. Probably about half. That's about right. Yeah.
You should be able to fit about a yard to 2 yards of mulch in your truck.
In a full size pickup, short bed, I don't know that you could do two.
I'm guessing 1.5 would fit in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, sounds like you got 3 yards.
Yeah. I did. I definitely did. Yeah. I got some playground chips too. Need those. I filled the playground back in.
Now the playground chips. Now those are fun to spread. Those you take.
Well, those are really light, which is really easy.
You take a snow shovel, and I mean, now I myself have gotten 5 yards of that before, and that's a pile you look at and you're like, holy crap, how am I going to do this? You go out there with a snow shovel. You can, if it's close enough, you can spread 5 yards by yourself in an hour. I mean, that's like no big deal because it's so light.
You know what I do? I don't put it in the wheelbarrow. I just fill up a trash can with it. To move it from where it is to where it's going.
Well,
take a trash barrel and move it that way.
When I had that 5 yards dropped off, it was close enough to where I didn't even have to like wheelbarrow it over. I mean, I laid down a tarp and just shoveled it and threw it to where it was going.
Huh. Yeah. Nice.
All right, well.
I'm just saying, Zoe, I stand with you, buddy.
Now, Beetle,
you know what? When Beetle's wrong, he admits it. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. I'm not going to question you next year when this comes around, even though, you know, you said it was 25, then it was 20. No.
No, it's mulch disrespect you guys have given me over
the years. Well, what did they charge you for, Zoe? You said 25. Well,
yeah, what'd the bill say?
Yeah, what?
The invoice.
It should probably be 7 times the bill that I got.
Did you pay for it? You say you don't pay for it. It's free. You got it on the arm,
I do the advertising for them, absolutely.
Okay, so you have no idea. They may have dropped off 10 yards. What do they care? You're not paying for it.
They're in Rockland, by the way, people. Great mulch.
I'm sure it is. I'll go there today, but I don't even need some.
Kitchens, grill kits. It's unbelievable. Stuff that they have for your outdoor entertaining needs. You got the green egg down there. Go get the green egg. You get Zoe's black mulch down there.
Zoe, are you a believer in the phrase "you get what you pay for"?
Yes.
Okay. That's all I'm saying with you and your mulch pile. Okay.
I have a baseball text. If we want to go back to the baseball items, from Chris Gasper.
Yeah.
Now of Channel 5, WCVB Channel 5.
Yes.
Gasper says, hey, every team in MLB sets a pool of bonus money based on their draft positions. He must have sent this before we talked about this, but I'm going to read it anyway. It explains it well. And whatever they save on the first round pick is money that they could put towards signing another guy over slot later who may have signability issues. It's strategy. Also, since they lost their second round pick, they actually have less money than they would normally have for the totality of the pool. So it might be cheaping out, but it also might just be a strategy to be able to get better overall talent absent a second round pick in a five round draft. So that's all good info there. Why is it that they don't have that second round pick again? Why is that? There was an incident.
It's still the ponies versus horses, though.
It definitely is.
They could have taken one quote-unquote stud there at the set 17 and not had a second-round pick, but now maybe they got a second-round pick in the first round, and they might get a second-round pick equivalent in the third round and end up getting 2 seconds instead of a one, right?
If you were a player coming out of high school right now and you're one of these guys that over the years typically has had the signability issues, would you as a player, and let's say you were a parent, let's do it this way because the parents have so much say in this, would you tell your kid to go to college or would you tell them to go to the minor leagues right now?
Minor leagues.
Yeah, you can still it's a hard one to answer. Minors, right?
No, I mean, it's a hard question to answer right now. What does, you know, is college baseball back next year? No problem. Do we know that? I mean, is everything good?
You don't know anything. You go where you get some guaranteed money, and that's where that would be.
Right, like if a baseball team's like, hey, here's $900,000 for you.
Go, kid, go. Yeah, you're coming out of high school, you go. You never know that money's going around again. There's no guarantee you're going to go play good ball in college. I mean, if someone wants to take a chance on you, give you guaranteed money, you take it and run.
Yeah, God forbid you drop in the draft. There's less minor league teams now. They're getting rid of a lot of minor league teams anyways. There's going to be less jobs to have. You're going to get one.
I'd say take the money and go to the minor leagues.
Absolutely.
That's what I would do. Yeah. But it's not an easy question, I'm sure, for some of these families that are discussing it with their 18-year-old kids right now. But, yeah, I tell them, at this point in time, I'd say, you know what? Who knows what's going to happen here?
Who knows?
Why don't you just take the guaranteed money since they're offering you hundreds of thousands of dollars? Why don't you go ahead and do that?
And you're going to make as much as every other MLB player will make this year.
Yeah. And then if baseball doesn't work out for you, then you can take that money and pay to go to college. You can do whatever it is you want to do after.
That's right.
617-779-0985. Let's get to headlines. They only take 90 seconds or so. And we're right back with hour number two. Don't go anywhere.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Helplinema.org.